It's a good song pick, because I was just about to say how while we all sit back, not going outside because it's really cold, we get to enjoy these bowl games. Some of them are like on Christmas Day, on Christmas Eve, the day before. Some of them involve traveling. You forget, there's a, you don't forget, but you need to remember, never forget, don't take for granted, that there's a whole crew of people, not just the people that we see on TV, but like putting on a TV show takes a lot of people for all these NFL games, all these college football games that work throughout the holidays and travel on the holidays and adjust their schedules and take time away from family so that you, lazy person, and by you, I mean me as well, can just sit there and watch these games be well-produced on ESPN and Fox and all the other networks. One of the people giving of her time so that we can enjoy these bowl games is my good friend and sideline reporter for the ESPN family of networks. She's also a local North Carolinian. Even though she's living in Atlanta now, we still claim her, especially here on North Carolina Bowl Week. It is my friend Marilyn Payne. Follow her on Twitter at @Marilyn_Payne. Marilyn, in Maryland, how are you doing?
Hey, Hayes, I am good. And yeah, let's get that one out of the way quickly. It is Maryland, like Monroe, not the state, but I'm in Maryland. I just went to Virginia to catch UCF practice this morning, their last walkthrough before kickoff tomorrow. And this is a cool bowl because it is kind of all over the DMV area. So the teams have done some cool stuff.
Yeah, they do a good job. The game's in Annapolis and the stadium's kind of cool being at Navy Stadium. I covered Wake up there one time. Annapolis is a cool town, but they play up on being part of the DC area. One of the things I feel like matters in bowl games is who cares more. Sometimes teams are looking to the future. Sometimes teams have the coaching change. The transfer portal's been active. Duke has none of those obvious signs of a team that won't care. Is there any other sign that shows that they are intently focused and treating this very much as a game that matters?
Absolutely. You mentioned all those important behind-the-scenes people. Duke's sports information department gave me 6 different players to talk to yesterday evening, and all of them reiterated the same thing. Duke is still chippy. They are frustrated that they, as a Duke football program, both in Mike Elko's first season and as everyone in the Triangle knows, maybe historically, they don't really get the respect they deserve, they feel like, even when they win as many games as they have this season. So all of the players that I spoke with yesterday said, we are better than anyone is recognizing, even with Coach Elko, right, receiving the ACC Coach of the Year award.
Yeah.
They very much feel that they have so much left to prove in this bowl game tomorrow.
Is there anything, obviously a coaching change, it looks like it was a much needed coaching change. That's no disrespect to David Cutcliffe. It was just almost like a boost of energy that the program needed. And obviously it looks from the outside that they got the right person. Are there other things that speak to why this turnaround happened? I mean, everybody, even if you said Mike Elko was a good coach, you probably did not have Duke in a bowl game and being as good and competitive as they were throughout the season. Are there things that you point to that are like, those are the clear things that got better this season that made them a better team?
I think you hit it right on the head when you said energy. Mike Elko, not only in speaking with him and his staff, but again in the players' accounts of who he is and how the day-to-day looks and sounds, they are having a blast, right? And we've talked so much about Duke's offense, and that's been a huge turnaround. But, I mean, these guys are hilarious. Just hearing them talk about the way Coach Elko and the entire staff interacts with the players and engages them, they kind of jab at one another. He has this grind motto that I'm sure everybody around the Triangle has heard about by now. But they kind of detailed the way, at the why and the how that they were able to buy into that before they got to spring practice. Like when Mike Elko got there basically this time last year, how deeply seated he got those guys to like buy into it immediately. And I think it's his personality. He's incredibly intelligent. To hear all of his defensive players talk about the way that he, even as a head coach, will come over and change a scheme mid-game if he sees something that, you know, the defensive staff isn't seeing. It's he's just super engaged, and he's super, I think, relatable to them, maybe in a way that the previous staff hadn't been in the same ways. And it's not just that the scheme has changed, the turnovers have been reduced, the tackling has improved. I think it's the energy, and I think it's the the fun that Duke is having that he has been able to inject into a program that badly needed it.
It is Duke, Central Florida tomorrow at 2 o'clock, part of, I'm calling it North Carolina Bowl Week, because we've got ECU playing today, Duke and UNC playing tomorrow, NC State playing Friday, Wake just played last Friday. I get the days kind of flied together. Is there a bowl game outside of the ones that you are covering, that don't have to be North Carolina, that you are most excited about moving forward after the Military Bowl?
I'll be really honest with you. I'm excited to look at the schedule and figure out who's still left on it. This is my third game in, I think, 10 days. And so I've been in seven states this month, and I don't even know what the other matchups are.
No, totally. We love the honest answer. And actually, I'm going with that because I love doing the peel back the curtain when I have somebody that I know well enough that I can ask them about their job and stuff like that. How does it work with bowl assignments? Do you say these are the ones I could do, and a computer just spits back out and says, these are the ones you're going to? how does it work?
If I ever figure out how it works, I'll be sure to let you know.
What do you mean? You've got multiple bowl assignments. I'll tell you what I do know.
Listen, right. I'll tell you what I do know. So mid-November, early November, it might have been end of October, actually, they send out an availability. Kind of like every job you've ever worked, right? Like, I've worked in restaurants, I've worked in local television, sure. I've worked digitally, and it's what's your holiday availability? There's seniority involved. Obviously, ESPN's crews, they staff them kind of top down from the college football playoffs to, you know, the hard and fast SEC network and ACC network crews. And then there's some piecemeal work going. So everybody submits their availability. And then I just kind of got an email back with the email out assignments somewhat the same way on a recurring weekly basis. And it said, here's the ones you're on. I was assigned this bowl, as well as they group in the FCS playoffs with these, and as well as there's like a Geico High School Bowl within the ESPN networks.
That's right.
The D2 and D3 National Championships. So they send basically everything in December out together. And then that's your assignment. And I'm super excited to work with this crew tomorrow. Hudson Mason, the former Georgia quarterback, as well as Kevin Brown, who is local here up in the Baltimore area. He calls the Orioles play-by-play when he's not doing ESPN stuff. So sure. I've worked with these guys a couple times this year. So back with them. And then I got the Boca Bowl I had last Tuesday with Liberty and Toledo. And that one was not my original assignment. They had a reporter who couldn't, I guess there was a travel conflict with that reporter's schedule. So I got asked to be added, and that was an absolute blast. You know, Panthers fans probably are familiar with Anish Shroff. He's obviously done a ton with ESPN and is the voice of them this season. So he's a longtime mentor of mine, and it was an absolute blessing to be able to work with him, as well as Tim House. Like that was a first time crew. Like, they had never even worked together. So you'll see a lot of your recurring crews on these games. You'll see a lot of faces that you maybe know from different crews put together to make it work. You mentioned the traveling and all of everybody trying to spend time with their families. So ESPN has done a pretty good job, I think, too, of they try and, like, when you look at the assignments, they do try and regionalize it so that people who are visiting, you know, and they ask you, where are you traveling for the holidays? And then they'll try and match you too with that. So
very cool.
I was really excited, to get to do Duke's bowl game, obviously, with my history there in the Triangle. And my first bowl game ever was in 2012 when I was an intern at a station there and a student at Carolina. So people probably don't want to hear that I was from Carolina and now covering Duke. The Duke players didn't appreciate me saying that yesterday, but it feels like a little bit of a home team coverage.
Now,
don't tell UCF though, right?
You're a North Carolina grad, but you're not. It's not like you're from Chapel. You're from the western part of the state. You've spent time at different schools. You've worked in different markets. I don't think anybody could tie you to being a Tar Heel, regardless of.
Coming from you, I don't think it counts when you say it.
Well, regardless of who you may or may not have been pulling for the Final Four, they can't tie you to one team or another. You've covered them all, Marilyn Payne. I don't want to hear.
It's different when it's football and you're on assignment.
I know.
No, I think it would be. I mean, I'm an ACC homer. You know this.
Yes.
Hopefully, people who know me know this. So, UCF. I mean, Chip Lindsey. Right. Basically, we were told that Chip Lindsey got on a plane the day they announced that North Carolina hired him, and he was there immediately. So UCF without him. You mentioned what teams are playing for. They obviously lost their defensive coordinator as well to Arkansas. So, like, they got a lot to play for. And I think that, honestly, I think that they've got the upper hand with their quarterback, John Rhys Plumlee, but I'm still interested to see what Duke can do and in this finale of what's been a just an eye-opening season.
Yeah, I agree. I think Duke might have the focus intangible or whatever a little bit higher. Do you have – I know you went from one of the Dakotas to – you went from
North.
You were in North Dakota, yes, the even further north one. North Dakota to Florida to the Boca Bowl. I don't know what the degree temperature change when you went from one to the other one is. Do you have another favorite, or is there a favorite travel moment? Because you've been doing games all season long. I've seen you on the SEC Network. I've seen you on ESPN. I've seen you on ESPN2. Is there a favorite travel moment or a head-spinning travel moment? That one was just kind of funny because, it was like overnight you went from Dakota to Boca. Which has got to be a nice change.
I did stop in Atlanta, where I live, for 20 hours in between landing from the North Dakota flight out to the Boca flight in, which was just enough to unpack the big suitcase, which has to house all the coats and layers, and repack the small suitcase, sure, which houses the South Florida clothes. That was the whole month of December. I also did some Carolina women's basketball games. Two of them, the first week of December, I was working with some of the UNC Hussman students who are getting their feet underneath them and going to start sideline reporting there. And so I think just this whole month has been the most head spinning, like, make sure you don't forget anything. Make sure that you're in the right time zone. Thankfully, yes, I've mostly been in the Eastern time zone. From Phoenix, how poorly I deal with time change way back in the day. So it's good that they've kept me on this side of the country.
And you're on multiple networks. I would always worry about, I don't even know if you're the one that has to say what network you're on. But I worry
none of
about
that changes at all, actually, which is a huge blessing.
Okay,
that's probably harder for producers and for our graphics crew to make sure that they've got the right graphics packages in places. Because none of that, at no point have I said a network, I don't think, all season long, which is one less thing that I can screw up. So I'm thankful for that. Favorite trip, though, I got to go back. I did 2 years at Appalachian State, my first 2 years of school. And I got to go back to Boone in the middle of, I think, October or end of October. That was my favorite. Like, that was the one where I think I got like a little bit teary-eyed because I hadn't been in Boone in 10 years. My last day in Boone was Jerry Moore's last playoff game. Wow. He announced to his staff the next day that he was retiring. And so that was December, I think, or November of 2012. Had not been up there, not even once, not driven through, nothing. So when I got up there in October, that was the most, like, I think, meaningful and exciting. And those two head coaches, it was Sean Clark and then Sean Elliott, coaches at Georgia State, which is who was up there playing, and they played football together at App.
Yep.
So they were just wide open. Like, I got to go to Georgia State's practice because they're obviously down in Atlanta. So I got to be like the most kind of connected, I felt like, with the teams. The information I got, I felt like, was the best, when people know and trust you. And it was beautiful. I mean, it was also peak week for the fall leaves. So I feel like I've been very thankful for the assignments that I've gotten this season. I got to go to Ole Miss. I started the season at Miami. I had a couple high school games in Atlanta, so I didn't have to travel and got to rest a little bit. Back in Winston-Salem when Sam Hartman set one of the many records he has this season early on. It's been a good season, but I think Boone was the most, it was the most fun game because of who those coaches are and how wide open they were with us. And it was the most meaningful. And then this whole month, at some point in January, I'll start to figure out like which way's up. I'll kind of work through some of the coverage I've done. So it's been really fun. It's been a good time. And I get to work with a lot of different crews, which I've enjoyed because I've met so many different people and seen different, so many perspectives. I think viewers, Hayes, often don't know.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Spring training is right around the corner. So come for the games and have a ball in Arizona. With world-class resorts, unbeatable dining and nightlife, amazing scenery, and endless outdoor adventure. Make your visit unforgettable. Plan your getaway at myspringtraining.com.
You know, how much sometimes a play-by-play broadcaster can or cannot bring his personality to it, the camaraderie and the chemistry between a play-by-play announcer and an analyst. It's been cool to listen to a lot of different crews and learn from people on tips and tricks and how to work information in, because we get a lot. We all get a lot that we don't end up putting in the broadcast. So to see the different ways to get the most information out to people watching and caring about these teams has been, I've learned more in the last 4 months, I think, than I have in the previous 3 or 4 years.
It's very cool. And I got to say, I'm going to get soft for a minute I'll end with an off the wall question for you. But okay. It's been awesome. It's been one of the highlights of my football season is to see your success this year, to see you just showing up at so many different games. I won't pretend to offer advice on your behalf, but I know that you do a great job when folks ask for advice, because I know you've had people that you've reached out to and given advice. But one of the things, just in observing you, obviously the persistence and the, you know, work hard and staying at your craft and getting after it. But I feel like one of the things that I would describe you is you have had all kinds of assignments. You are now doing bowl games on ESPN, and you've done high school games, you've done college games, smaller college, bigger college. I feel like you, and it's I feel like you feel indebted to the players and the viewers and the coaches. You treat every game as if it is the Super Bowl. You go after it with the same effort. And I think that the reason you get bigger assignments is because you treat every assignment as if it's you're grateful for the opportunity and you give it your all. So if I, from observing, if I can offer advice to anybody who wants to find success as Maryland has and will continue to, it would be that, to take everything and give it your best every time, regardless of what the assignment is. And if you do that, you'll start be getting a lot of bowl game assignments in December like she has. So
yeah, can I give you one more on that, Hayes?
Go for it. Yes.
Well, one, yes, to your point, listeners who may not know me, I was doing Elon a year ago, even in the spring of 2021, and a ton of high school football, both in the Triangle. I saw a Cardinal Gibbons t-shirt in our hotel lobby this morning. So
nice.
Shout out to that program, which I've covered a lot of. But also, I just got to say thanks, Hayes, to you, because the day that I completed my second interview with WRAL, who I worked for obviously for like 3.5 years, doing digital and a ton of radio, you and I sat down at Raleigh Times and had a cup of coffee, and you told me, do not peak too soon. And that made me madder than anything ever could have. And I have thought about that more times than I should admit, especially since like the pandemic and trying to figure out how to work within this industry. But I drove to South Carolina and did exactly what you said I did with covering high school football down there. But if I could give anybody else another piece of advice, make sure you stay motivated. So if that's my way of, hey, saying something offhanded to you when you're 24 years old, or if it's by having a really good persistent group of people around you, then that's a good way too. So thanks for getting in my head, Hayes. I appreciate you. Wouldn't be here without you.
Good people around you is always good. My final question for Marilyn Payne: you probably have not been to the ABC store as much this year or any year as Will Brinson, but I have the list of the top purchased items from North Carolina ABC store, and I asked Will Brinson if he could get number one, and he nailed it. So like Family Feud style, you're not gonna be able to beat him. I just want to know, can you give me either one of your favorites, and I'll tell you if it's on the top 30, or guess one that might be on the top 30, and I'll tell you how high it was.
So I'm glad this is about North Carolina, because I haven't been in Atlanta enough since I moved in August. I have not been to buy liquor there. Tito's. I buy Tito's, so that's going to be the first thing off my list.
Yeah, it was number one, and we'll assume that you weren't cheating and listening. No, Tito's was number one, so you're good.
And
Patron,
among the masses.
Patron is number eight, so you would have been good there too. Well done. You guys know your ABC stores.
What's your top purchase? What's your most purchased liquor this season?
Mine would probably year round. Mine's probably Maker's, which comes in at 29th on the list.
Squeaking in there.
Just a nice solid bourbon. I'm not like 18 different bourbons or like this flavor, this bourbon, or describe the texture to it. But I'm like, give me slightly better than bad bourbon. Just give me something that is consistent and I know will be okay. And that's what Maker's does for me.
Well, I'll have a hot toddy with Maker's in your honor tomorrow post game.
There you do. There you go. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the Military Bowl. Congratulations. And then enjoy your rest at the end of the season as you regroup. And then I know you got basketball games and other stuff, assignments coming, but enjoy a little break from football after this one.
Thank you. Happy holidays and Happy New Year, Hayes.
Same to you.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this, but with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.